Blog Talk Radio.
Family, we welcome you once again this week to the Us Lifting Us Dare to Win call. We have some technical difficulties with regard to the music that we're going to show off. And just to let you know that we are here, we're here every week. And Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering conversations about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build a global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path to making history. And once again, we want to also, because we are heard around the world, remind you that not only can you reach us by telephone, but also, and anybody that's got any background noise, please mute the background noise as much as possible. And so as I was saying, that not only are we heard around the world, we heard by telephone and also by internet radio. And by telephone, you can always dial in once we get started at 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789, and press 1 on your keypad when you've got a question or comment. You know, give us about 15 minutes. And also, you can reach us by internet radio, and you go to www.usliftingus.com. That's usliftingus.com. And when you're on the homepage, you look for ULU, ULU Radio, and you scroll down, and you click on that tab that says ULU Radio. And then when it changes pages, just scroll down and look for Listen Live, and you click on Listen Live, and you would be hearing the broadcast right at this very moment because we're on the air. And our topic tonight is Trump Plandemic Vaccine, Black Economic Power, the Way Forward. And so we're going to delve into some conversation related to Trump, the Plandemic Vaccine, and Black Economic Power, the Way Forward. And we're going to just start off in a different fashion, as I said, because we had some technical difficulty with the music that normally would start. And I am Brother Thurman, an Us Lifting Us member, and I am also want to welcome you welcome to the call. I'm the host tonight. And on the line, we also have an Us Lifting Us member, Brother Shabaka, who is going to be the guest tonight, and he's going to carry the conversation related to Trump, pandemic, the vaccine, Black economic power, the way forward. Brother Shabaka, we welcome you to be with us tonight and give a greeting to the family.
Well, good afternoon, Brother Thurman. It's always a pleasure to be with you. And good afternoon, family. It's always a pleasure. I haven't been on for a while, so I'm elated to be participating tonight. And I welcome a conversation on the topic. It's very interesting. And so thank you very much, and thank you for having me.
Yes, and thank you. And once again, family, the topic is dealing with Trump, the pandemic, and the vaccine, and Black economic power, the way forward. Very vital that we get clarity on what's going on in the world. Clarity, not confusion. And the world has got two major issues. It's got a lot of issues, but among them is the subject of confusion. And we've got this enormous need to have clarity so that we can make the proper decisions and proceed in the proper fashion based on having clarity. And Brother Shabaka, with the things that you have here as the topic for tonight, what's the relationship between Trump, bioweaponry, and black economic power that's cited in the topic for this evening?
Well, thank you, Brother Thurman, for asking that question. I really appreciate, as I said, being on tonight and having an opportunity to at least share my views. As you know, there was a big fiasco, but see, that fiasco that happened yesterday, in my opinion, was a planned fiasco, all right? And the planned fiasco, because throughout the 4 years in which we have been under this administration, that administration has always captured our attention. And why has he captured our attention? I want you all to think about this, because the media exposed him so that our attention would be captured. Let me repeat that again. The media exposed Trump so that our attention would be captured by the things that this person does or did. So when we talk about Trump and other things that are happening, the distraction, again, takes us away from things that might be of importance, all right, because the whole idea of a distraction is not to allow you to deal with things that are important. And I have to go back to Brother Neely Fuller in his piece dealing with compensatory codes. And what Neely Fuller wrote about, and this was decades ago, but the brother is still living, approaching his mid-90s, still living, and still on the air. You can capture him. All you got to do is put Neely Fuller in your web browser, and a whole bunch of information comes up. But Neely Fuller explained to us decades ago about the essence of how white supremacy globally, all right, controls us. And he identified, you know, nine areas. His identification of these nine areas was areas that he felt we needed to communicate, and he gave us a code, all right, by which we need to interact when we talk to people, such that that was our way of combating on an individual level, all right, those areas that were controlled by the white supremacists over our lives. Now, the reason he dealt with the individual, because he felt at the time, because white supremacy was global, as a consequence of global, it had control over the activities that we would engage in a society. And he identified nine. Some people have identified more, but he focused nine, and others can be definitely related to that. So let me at least begin to say what those nine areas are. Economics, you know, how we organize ourselves so that we can eat, clothe ourselves, and feed ourselves. Education, so that we can learn to be able to do those things to feed and clothe ourselves. Entertainment, that area where we can relax. Labor, what is needed to help, personally needed in order to feed, clothe ourselves. Law, the organization of the state, all right, so that we know how to behave and operate and communicate with each other. Politics, upon which law is based. Religion, dealing with our spirituality. Now, this is important because, according to Neely Fuller, there is no area that escapes the control of the white supremacists. So even the religion that we practice, all right, is controlled. And therefore, there's a code or behavior by which we need to interact with others, all right, to reduce the kind of impact that the supremacists have. Sex, yeah, you know, you close the door, you think that you can go and deal with your significant other. No, you're impacted by the television, whatever you read, and when you come out and go to work, you're impacted by that. And, of course, war and counter war. We know that too often. In fact, it was war and counter war last night. So they are the things that Neely Fuller talked about. And remember now, the objective is that we understand that these are the areas in which we are controlled, and these are the areas in which we have to use the code that he has in his book such that we can battle on an individual level, because he believed that because of the organization, because of the organization of white supremacists throughout the world, that no organization can sustain itself, all right, because the resources they have to infiltrate, to redirect, and distract such that you can't meet your goal. I don't necessarily hold that view entirely, but I do share his opinion on the amount of control that Europeans have over us. And he identified really three groups of people in the world. He says you got white people, you got non-white people, and then you got white supremacists. It's interesting that how he defined the world in those terms: white people, non-white people, and white supremacists. All right. And are those who we would classify as not having, you know, pigmentation. He goes on to say that the white supremacists will sacrifice sometimes white people in order to obtain their objective. Their objective is to control. Now, oftentimes we think that the Europeans seem to always want money. Yeah, money is an avenue and a vehicle by which he controls. And I'm deliberately using the term he because they're the ones that are controlling right now. The female is just an object by which she can be used in order to sustain his control over the other non-white people in the world. So now, having said that, I want to tie it now into the question that you asked me, brother. What is the relationship that Trump, as I said, is a distraction? What Neely Fuller saw as the way in which white people, Europeans, control, and then how that relates to what we are experiencing now in 2020/2021. I want to bring your attention to several things that happened. On June 22nd through the 23rd, 2001, there was a bioterrorism exercise that was held at Andrews Air Force Base. It was called Dark Winter, which was interesting. All right. It was an event 201, but this event, there's other events 201, but this event 201 was called Dark Winter. And this was June 22nd through the 23rd, 2001. Now, we know something else happened in 2001, too, 9/11. So a few months later, in September, all right, we had actually a so-called terrorist act that happened on U.S. soil. But this exercise was at Andrews Air Force Base, all right, which is right outside of D.C. in Maryland, P.G. County, about 45-minute drive from where I am in Baltimore. I live in Baltimore. At that particular exercise, the committee that organized it, and it was scholars, government, you know, the people that we would normally see that are decision makers for this country, if not the world. All right. The committee had recommended this exercise to deal with addressing several issues. One issue, and I remember it's a bioterrorism exercise. So that's the exercise, let me put it into some context, was to deal with if the United States, all right, was attacked by biological weaponry, all right, this exercise would, how would the United States respond? Okay, now I'm getting to, I know people are anxious to talk about the pandemic, but this thing went on 20 years ago. All right, so this bioterrorism exercise was one to see what policies and priorities should be given. Now check this out. This is one of the issues that they talked about. What policies and priorities should be given or governed, all right, for smallpox vaccine distribution? Now, it's interesting that during that period of time, all right, let me say that again. One of the issues they wanted to tackle was what policies and priorities should be governed for smallpox vaccine distribution. All right, now, smallpox has been linked to, and I think it's up on the WHO website years ago, but you just go up there, hit WHO, Sputpol smallpox. In fact, you can put in Dark Winter in your web browser, all right, and Event 201. And, you know, all this stuff falls out. So I'm not talking about, this is not just Chewbacca, you know, running off at the mouth. You know, I had, you know, looked up these things, investigated these things. All right, so smallpox that had related to AIDS, or HIV, I should say. The other thing that they wanted, the issue that they wanted to follow up on was, should plans for military deployment to Southwest Asia proceed? All right. Now, in Southwest Asia, you have, you know, you currently have now is the Middle Eastern area. It's south and it's west. So it's Southwest Asia, not Southeast Asia, where you have China. So if you look at Southwest Asia, you're moving towards the Middle Eastern area, but you're on the Asian part. So you think of areas like the Persian Gulf or what have you. And, you know, at that time, a decade earlier, the United States had invaded Iraq. All right, but they're still in Iraq to maintain a certain supremacy over the oil flow that's international. All right, the other thing that they wanted to consider, what should we tell our allies about the source and the scope of the outbreak? Now, remember that we're talking about bioterrorism and the risk and spread abroad implication, which implicates what kind of coalition should be happening in the Gulf. Well, the Gulf is essentially Southwest Asia. All right. And lastly, I want you to pay close attention to this. What should the American people be told? All right, so this exercise wanted to address all of those issues if there was a bioterrorist attack that happened. All right, now let's move it a little bit to the present. All right, so that's in 2001, in June 2001, a few months before 9/11. Let me take you to October 2014. The United States government had placed a federal moratorium on gain-of-function research. This was in part due to a lab accident at the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, facility. All right, in July 4th. This is when the accident happened that raised questions about the biosafety at U.S. government containment labs. Now, the lab in particular where this particular incident happened was Fort Detrick. All right, Fort Detrick is a level 4 containment lab engaged in biological research. All right, and it's one of the highest. You know, it goes from level 1 to level 4, so level 4 is the highest. Okay, and at these labs, Fort Detrick is where they do biological research, if not weaponizing biological pathogens. All right, so there was an incident there that dealt with a breach, all right, two breaches, in fact, of containment, all right, which led the CDC, all right, to issue and halt level 4 research. Level 4 research or high-level research that was taking place at that lab and all over. Now, that's in October 2014 when they did that, but the breach happened in July of that same year. Let's move a little further. We want to bring this up to date. In the face of that moratorium, Dr. Anthony Fauci, the director of the National Institute of Allergies and Infectious Disease, and currently the leading doctor in the United States on the coronavirus task force, sent out, because there was a moratorium. The moratorium didn't actually prohibit it. It just says we need to look at, because we had a safety issue at one of our high-level containment facilities. So what he did, this is Anthony Fauci back there in 2015, outsourced a gain-of-function research to China. China, that's interesting, to China's Wuhan laboratory and licensed the lab to continue receiving U.S. government funding to conduct level 4 research on the coronavirus. This is 2015. You can go to your website, throw all that stuff in there, in your browser, all of this stuff comes up. If I know it, you know Trump knows it, you know Biden knows it, you know everybody in the National Security Agency knows it, you know the CIA knows it, you the FBI knows it, I know it, but you don't hear that much on media, do you? All right, well, it wasn't for you, because remember now what I said back there in 2001, one of the things they want to deal with in bioterrorism was to say, what should they tell the American public? All right, and what they that implies what they shouldn't tell them also. And so they didn't tell you that. They know that you're not going to go on the web and do no research. All you're going to be worrying about is turning on the TV, looking at the game, looking at the talent show, looking at the bachelorettes or all that other kind of stuff as distractions, because they know what distracts us. All right, so that was in 2015. Just during the Obama administration, President Obama came in 2009, stayed until 2016-17 when Trump took over. So in 2015, the gain-of-function research was going on. All right. Now, in Wuhan, the same place that we found out later was supposedly where the first incidence of a coronavirus was had affected a large number of people in the city. And the story at that time was that a large number of people was affected because of a meat market, bat market. And I have to mention this because you know that in different parts of the world, they eat different things. Like over here, people consume pig, they consume beef. But in other parts of the world, they consume other animal flesh, all right? And in some places, they even consume insects. So, you know, bats might be a commodity and a healthy protein diet in some places of the world. That's what they do there. So all of this happened, you know, between 2001, where they had a first setting to do bioterrorism planning, and then we have in 2014, all right, an incident happened at one of our level 4 biocontainment labs, which issued a moratorium on research, but that research was then directed over to China. So that industry, and that couldn't have happened without the U.S. government approval to have research on bioweaponry conducted in a foreign country. And in a foreign country, in a country that's supposed to be keep competing with the United States, if not even hostile. So apparently they're not all that hostile, even though on the media we see a lot of this hostility even take place. So, brother, here let me stop here for a minute. I know that I said a lot. Just wanted to see if anybody may have from the family had any questions before proceeding.
Oh, brother, you've been bringing some very vital information. Absolutely, bringing clarity, and as you have emphasized, you're not talking about something that you made up. You're telling them to get on the internet and go and see for yourself. And this is, really says a lot of what's going on while people are being distracted, as you said. And family members, if you got questions or comments, you can reach us at 929-477-2789-929-477-2789. Question number one on your keypad when you got questions or comments. And before we continue on, and you are thinking about your questions or comments, and you should be taking notes. And you remember Brother Shabbat from time to time reread what he was saying, because these are some very vital, noteworthy information. China was being funded by the U.S. and much, much more. We're going to take a quick break and come right back with you. Mm-hmm. family, once again, we welcome you to the Us Lifting Us Thursday night Dare to Win call. The conversation tonight is dealing with the subject of Trump, the pandemic, the vaccine, and Black economic power, the way forward. Family members, we've got to be about being truly liberated. And Us Lifting Us is bringing forth and advancing a well-laid-out cooperative economics model. And that's one of the vital things that we must achieve in order to have our liberation. And also, we need to have clarity about what's going on in the world around us. And Brother Shabaka, you've just been bringing some very vital evidence-based information tonight, and we thank you so much for what you're doing, and you're bringing it and you're expressing it with great clarity. And you ended up talking about the facilities in Fort Detrick and Wuhan. Would you please explain a little bit more about this gain of function research and various levels of containment for weaponizing pathogens?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you, brother. Yes, I will. I want to talk about that. That's very important. And remember now, this stuff is not necessarily jumping out there in the press. Although Trump has been howling about, calling it the China virus. Well, it's the China-U.S. virus. He goes, he funded the research when they couldn't have the research. And when he came in, all right, he lifted the ban, in December of 2017. Now he came in, took office, January 2017. So at the end of the year, he lifted the ban on the research, all right, gain of function research. And when he lifted the ban, they hadn't resolved at that time the safety issues which caused them to put in place the moratorium. All right, so he lifted it. All right, so he's very clear now. Remember now, this moratorium did happen on the Obama administration, and I know how you feel, how people feel, but it was only after there was a breach that the Obama administration, President Obama, all right, placed the moratorium on there such that he could check, or rather, his agencies begin to check the various level containment research facilities that they had throughout the country. Like I said, it goes from 1 to 4. I think they have about 3 or 4, maybe 5. Level 4, Fort Detrick is one. Another one is in North Carolina at around one of those universities. And so he shares some of this. I don't want to make it sound like, oh, the Republicans under Bush was evil and the Democrats under Obama were nice people. They all were evil. They all were engaged. They had a justification. And let me address your question on this gain of function. Now, the gain of function was, the research was that there is pathogens out there. Some of them are not harmful to us. They invade other species. All right, and they're not necessarily harmful to us. Even if we eat those species, all right, because usually we cook them, so that destroys any attempt at creating any sickness in us. But usually it's very difficult, and the reason it's difficult is this, because a pathogen, and let's say a virus has to be able to adapt to the cell that it infects. Well, the cells that it infects, even if it's a lung cell, let's say in a mice or a lung tissue or what have you, that cell, even though we have lungs and the mice has lung, it's different. All right. In fact, the tissue in my lung and cells in my lung, is slightly different, not exactly the same as my sister. Okay. I want you all to understand that. All right. So for cross species, all right, infection to take place, it's sort of like an evolutionary process, and the two species have to be constantly in contact such that pathogens, all right, begin to adapt and modify in order to get to the other species. All right, the gain of function research is a deliberate attempt to weaponize all right, a pathogen to infect humans. And let me say that again. It's a deliberate attempt to weaponize a pathogen to infect humans. Now, I wouldn't be fair if I didn't tell you all of what it's supposed to do. It does that such that it assumes that the enemy or opposition to the country may use such a pathogen. Therefore, by weaponizing the pathogen, they can develop antidotes. All right. In other words, so if we become invaded by a biological terrorism that I talked about earlier, were discussed in 2001 at Andrews Air Force Base. All right. So therefore, if we got invaded by a pathogen, we could develop an antidote, and therefore it would defeat it. Because right now we have nuclear weapons, but nobody's going to try to through a nuclear weapon, we destroy everything. And what the U.S., Western Europe, and others, they don't necessarily wish to destroy infrastructure, you know, the sewage, the houses, the laboratories. They don't have no problem killing people. They just throw the people in the ground or burn them. All right, so they don't have no problem doing that. So the biological warfare, and also chemical, but chemistry has another aspect of it that sometimes is not really safe. If I develop an immunization against any pathogen, I don't have to worry about it. But you know, sulfuric acid fumes is going to damage me. There's no agent that I can develop to get poison chemical fumes. All right, so the gain of function is to develop and make what was a pathogen that may not have affected or harmed us, make it such that it does that so that it can develop the lab that is engaged in the research can develop an antidote. And so in 2017, in December, as I said, the gain-of-function research, the ban on it was lifted, so that means that they could continue. All right? But supposedly, for show, the Trump administration did investigate the amount of money that was going to Wuhan at the time or any of the other facilities that's outside of the country that the U.S. was funding. All right, it was going to now investigate that a little bit thoroughly, all right, to stop the research. All right. To the tune of $3.7 million. So Fauci was responsible back there in 2015 of giving the Chinese $3.7 million taxpayers' allowance to do gain-of-function research on the coronavirus. Now, I hope that the implication of my talk right now suggests that I don't believe that the coronavirus actually, it's called SARS-CoV-2. That's what COVID-19 is, the disease, SARS, all right, COV-2. That's the name of the virus, all right, 2, because it's different from 1, all right. 1 and MERS, which was a Middle Eastern virus that came up a few years ago, it seemed to have affected people in the Middle Eastern area, particularly those areas where they still rode on camels, all right. So, the implication of my talk is that I don't believe that it's natural. I cannot, because I'm not a biologist or biochemist, I'm not in any of the biological sciences, but I can read, you know, information that they have on the internet, as you yourself can read and should read. And then if you come upon a term or an area that is not that familiar to you, all right, and you don't want to be wasting your time going from dictionary to dictionary to dictionary, journals to journals to journals to try to find out what it is, and you try to find or locate somebody that can help you understand what is being talked about. But a lot of the stuff is extremely straightforward and simple, but particularly if you look at the reports. If you look at the medical journals and stuff like that, yeah, they can become very complicated. I can't say that this is not a – yes, I'm sorry. Go ahead, brother.
Well, I believe you were getting ready to address it, but I just want to ask you, you know, to make sure that nobody missed what you already said. But so the question is you don't seem to believe that the COVID-19 virus evolved naturally? You
no,
believe that
I,
was there?
Yeah, I think there was some other stuff. I think there was some other stuff going on. But let me go ahead with your question again. You seem like you wanted to add something else to it.
No. Well, the question was is that you don't seem to believe that the COVID virus evolved naturally.
No, I do. I have strong reservations that it didn't, but I can prove that it didn't. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Because according to some of the literature that I've read, as I said, the species, coronavirus, are in animals. There's some that's in man. You might get a little sniffle or cold or something like that, but it is not. It has not been raised to the aspect of creating deaths or causing deaths. All right. So, for it to have a full-fledged attack and attack your system such that your immune system cannot respond is problematic for me, primarily because the process is processed. Now, we know that a flu virus, so we think or so they say, you know, can mutate from year to year.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mm-hmm. That's what they say. And therefore, you have to get a flu shot, all right, every year. Although the flu shot, in some cases, is even less than 50% effective. Now, why is that? And I want you all to pay real close attention to that. And you can go on the website and get this information about the flu shots too, because they don't know what flu virus will change to. You know, what would it mutate to? They guess. They don't know. They don't know because they're not God. So they're guessing what the flu virus might get, might become, and therefore they develop a vaccine for that particular manifestation or mutation of the flu virus for the incoming year. But the coronavirus, like I said, it's been here for centuries. It's been around. I mean, it's in animals. And this particular coronavirus seemed to have stemmed from bats, at least if we believe what they said. I don't know. I wasn't there in the laboratories. All right. I wasn't at the board meetings or the meetings of the director and his staff of the research facility. I wasn't sitting in with Dr. Fauci giving instructions to the Chinese about what he hoped they would do with this $3.7 million. I wasn't there. I'm just reading about it like you can read about it by going on the Internet. So, no, I don't necessarily believe that it naturally occurred. It could occur. And the reason I don't believe that it naturally occurred, because October 18th, 2019, that's about a month or two before the coronavirus supposedly breached I won't say it was a containment, didn't come from the lab. Anyway, that's where a few months after that is where some people in Wuhan, China got sick. Well, the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security works also planned an exercise. This is in October 18th, 2019. All you got to do is stick it in your web browser, your search engine. It's Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. All right, put that in there, October 18th or just October 2019. A whole bunch of stuff will come up. All right. They had an exercise with their partners. And let me tell you who their partners. I would just give you a few people who their partners was of Johns Hopkins. CDC, the Rockefeller Foundation, and guess what? Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. All right. Conducted what they called Event 201. Now, I told you about Event 201 before in the 2001 exercise that was conducted, all right, that was conducted at Andrews Air Force Base, except they call that one the Dark Winter, All right. Well, this was event 2001. Put it in your browser. Do not believe a word that I'm saying. Put it in your search engine. All right. Event, E-V-E-N-T 201. CDC, Melinda Gates, you'll see a whole bunch of stuff will pop up. All right. Demonstrated a number of gaps. They wanted to examine a number of gaps in the pandemic preparedness. All right. Now, Bill Gates has been talking about this, and Fauci has been talking about this for a couple of years, that they're going to have a big pandemic. It's interesting he knew about that. All right. And that they had to be prepared for it. And so at this gathering of people, they were trying to prepare as to what would happen if a pandemic happened. Now, before they was talking about bioterrorism. Now we're talking about if a pandemic happened that was not necessarily tied to bioterrorism. But they talked about bioterrorism, and the labs where they had a breach were engaged in bioterrorism, all right, weaponization of pathogens. All right, that's what they were involved in. So they had this going on, all right? And a few months later, November, December, we see the situation in Wuhan. Now, this is 2 or 3 months before this happened. They were exercising with this. And then this was also a couple years after there was funds that was the moratorium, and that moratorium was lifted, which means that they could conduct bioterrorism or bioweaponry research. All right, because, all right, it was all out now. You can go back there. You can go back with your funding, although there were some people in Congress that was a little upset about the funding that the United States was giving to China. All right. Now, that's one thing that tells me, brother, in answering your question, that the thing that we were confronted with back there in January, February, March, all right, may not have evolved naturally as much as they say it was evolved naturally. Now, remember, in 2001, one of the things they was concerned about is what do you tell the American public? It didn't say tell the American public the truth. It says what you would tell them. Mm. All right? Mm. What you would tell them. Mm. Mm. Now, let me indicate what worries me about this virus. And I know that there are some people that might be listening, you know, whose family members may have been affected. Excuse me. I'm not saying that the virus does not exist, but we have to know some of the things that is happening. These people, as Neely Fuller said decades ago, are necessarily people who want to sustain a control. Dr. Francis Kress Welsen came along and expanded his theory and said they want to turn control because of color, the war between color confrontation, which would neutralize them as being recessive. And of course, the non-white gene is more dominant. And therefore, that to her justify why they are doing this stuff that we see happening now. And that's why I'm not convinced that a lot of the stuff that happens, including the flu, is accidental and evolved naturally. But of significant concern to me is this the John Hopkins exercise. You know, that's really problematic to me. And then when we look at the casualties, who do we see primarily being affected and dying from this? All right. We see people in our age range, over 60, all right, and particularly the extreme elderly, all right, dying from this. Well, and that's natural because, the immune system, you know, as you age, your immune system gets a little weaker and weaker because you're moving towards mortality. You know, I mean, you know, you're not immortal. You're moving in towards mortality. You know, you're born, you live, and then you become, you transition. All right, that's the cycle. So if you transition, that means you die of something. All right, and so people might hasten this, but in the case of the United States, we know that a lot of people who are seniors and more than likely are retired seniors and therefore they are no longer contributing economically to the state. The state now has to pay them. The United States is in debt. It owes everybody. The last thing it would like all the seniors, particularly who they this is Shabaka's. This is Shabaka's now. I don't want you to say that. I got documents to say this. This is Shabaka's assessment is that as far as the United States government is concerned, it would like all of the people on Social Security to just vanish so it doesn't have to pay Social Security. It would like the people that have pre-existing conditions to vanish so that it doesn't have to pay Medicare. All right? It would like them to vanish. All right? That's in my opinion. And who do we see being affected by this? The people who have pre-existing conditions, who are sick, and we see the elderly. And it just so happens that in the United States, about 70% of black people are sick. And let me stop there. I know I said a lot, brother, just in case there's anybody that might be on the line that might have a question, or you yourself might have a question.
Well, family, you got to be taking notes and listening to word for word what the brother is telling us. And Brother Shabaka, I can flow with it. It makes sense to me what you just said about the elderly and all of these black folks that retirement, Social Security. It makes economic sense when it comes to the evil ways of evil people. They would be okay with what you just said. If you got questions or comments, and we do have a caller that has a question or comment, Brother Shabaka, so we would just stop and briefly give them a chance to express themselves. Caller with the last four numbers, 7204, please give us your question or comment and make it brief.
Yes, good evening. How y'all doing? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good evening, sister.
Okay. Good evening. This is Deborah. And I'm calling
greetings,
because
sister.
Greetings to you, brother. Greetings to you. I'm calling because I agree with everything you said, but the part that I don't agree with is the fact that how they lied so much in the beginning. What they were doing was people were dying, and they were dying of other things. But they were saying it was COVID. What I don't understand is if it's real, why did they have to lie?
You are exactly right. In order to get the numbers large, and it's very tricky words that they're saying now. They're saying death caused by complications from COVID. All right, the implication is that they may have died because people have been raising questions like that. You know, if you're in a hospice, you know, getting ready to die, you know, you're getting ready to die, and all of a sudden they say your death was caused by the virus. You know, the virus has a specific methodology by which it attacks you and prevents you. It's a upper respiratory disease infection, which is why they stick you up in the nose. They don't really have to stick you up in the nose like they do. They can also have you spit, all right, and you can get it because if there is any – remember, if it's infected, it's attacking the cells, and what the cells does is create mucus in order to try to present it protect itself. So if the virus is there, the cells is going to try to protect itself. So when you spit, you're going to have the virus particles, you're going to have cell particles, you're going to have everything. You know, they come through there, all right, which you can ask. So you ain't got to stick all the way up your nose to your brain through your brain cavity in order to get that test. But you are correct. And so to get the numbers up, they had to get the numbers up because they're calling it a pandemic. You can't have a pandemic with a few deaths. You got to have a pandemic, and you got to explode the numbers such that you can justify bringing in the pharmaceuticals, all right, the pharmaceuticals to begin to make the vaccines. And it's interesting, they've been working on this vaccine since before when they started working on it, because if you just take a look at the scenario, the people that were there, CDC was there in 2019, Bill Gates was there in 2019, All right, they was working on it, and we're working on it, and they have all the information from the research that was done on the coronavirus. All right, so they, you know, so that's why I don't think that it was just by chance. Sister, did you have anything else? You had a follow up on that. So I agree with you. I didn't mean to suggest that they pad the numbers. That they didn't pad the numbers. They did that because they got to justify the pharmaceuticals coming in there and then doing some other stuff.
I just wanted to ask that question because as of this moment, I still don't know anyone. Know anyone? I said no one. I'm not talking about people that you hear about. So I'm somebody that you know that have died from it. And I asked around. I asked people around, and a lot of people don't know. They hear about it, but they don't know the person personally. You know, so that's what I'm asking. They said so many people, but a lot of people don't know nobody that has died from it.
I know I don't know of anybody personally that died. I've had some people in my family that have had it, but they were over 60, and they managed to get through it. And it, to them, they experienced it was a hell of an experience, but they got through it. And I think that the experience was also tied to the propaganda that came across that it made this thing seem like it was more than what it is. To me, it was a bad flu pneumonia, you know, because it was a respiratory that inhibits your ability to breathe. That's what pneumonia does. It inhibits your ability to breathe. And so you have to breathe. You have to get air. And once they put you on the ventilators, 80% of the people that were on the ventilators died. All right, so once you got on the ventilator, if you was in the ICU and they said ventilator, you want to run up and get out of there because your chances of survival is not that good. Now, why do I let me? I know we're running out of time, but in addition to this, during this whole period of time, last year, the summer, spring, summer of 2019, not last year, but of 2019. A great phenomenon was happening, and this is why I said this thing is extremely, and I want to tie it now to our survival, our power base. On the African continent, they had approved, all right, the free trade agreement. This is when nearly 30 African countries agreed that they were going to start trading among themselves. That was significant. That was significant. Before then, all the trade went out. All the trade went out. All right, this was significant. They were going to internally trade. They had to because they had to address it. And then a few months later, COVID comes up. As a consequence of COVID coming up, African countries closed their borders. Economic disaster. We have 2.5, now let me come back to the United States. We have 2.5 million or 2.6 million black businesses, all right? Most of them are sole proprietor or partnerships, so that means they're not hiring anybody. 50% of those were destroyed as a consequence of COVID. Ones that survived, there was about 100,000 businesses. There was 100,000 black businesses that employed people, all right, 100,000 that employed people. A few of those managed to survive. I mean, they weren't hit quite as hard. I'm bringing this up to tell you that on the African continent right here in Africa, black American, for lack of a better word. But right here, we were hit by this phenomenon, okay, which was extremely destructive for us, okay? But this thing was not just hit a few countries here and a few countries here. This was global. This is what Neely Fuller said several decades ago, that white supremacy is global, all right? We got a manifestation of the globalness of this pandemic. And then all of the instruments that contribute to convincing us of its realness, and consequently, we see ourselves in lockdowns now. Now, what do we need? Well, let's look at what we propose, what ULU proposed. Number one, if we look first at how they impact and provide us with information and expect us to believe it. Well, number one, the only information that we should believe is the information that we share with each other. All right? We share with each other after we research it. We are attuned to what's happening outside, but we share and analyze the information that we have inside. One of the things we do in order to be able to do that, and I think Baba Hakima talked about this last week, was the Ulu-based collective. All right, the Ulu-based collective are organizations of from 5 to 15 people, all right, in particular locales where we have Ulu members. Their job is to, as well as culturally nurture each other, you know, because outside of that, we got chaos. So you got to culturally nurture each other, and you got to identify opportunities which economically help you to survive and grow. That's the Ulu plan. All right. Our objective is to develop businesses. The reason that we don't have the economic strength, all right, to be able to gather information, to research information, to pay people who can get this information, is because we don't direct our funds to do those things which allow us to be able to do this. Meharry, contact them. Howard, contact them. Morehouse contacted them. Listen to the president of Meharry, what the Meharry president and the rest of them are saying. Get the vaccine. Get the vaccine. National Medical Association, which is the black equivalent to AMA, all right, get the vaccine. All right. Well, I'm speculating. I don't know this for true. I don't sit on their boards. All right, I don't make decisions for them. But the vaccine is a multi-billion dollar operation. The United States government has given Pfizer and Moderna a whole bunch of money just to begin the research. All right? And then the sister, her name is Corbett, the one that heads the team in NIH under Fauci, all right, she is the team, and she was primarily responsible for developing the research. Before she got involved in it, she saw the vaccine, and according to Dr. Abdul Ali Muhammad, she says that this thing was not meant for genocide on black people. That's what she said when she saw not the vaccine, but when she saw Corbett. All right, that's in her own statement. She put that on her tweets. All right. I don't know whether she did it politically to get enhance her position inside of NIH, but then she got to work on it because she's very smart. She's very smart. And so Fauci started putting her out front such to convince black folks that it was safe, since she's working on the virus, to get the vaccine, since she's working on a vaccine with Moderna. I'm saying all this to say that there's too many things that are happening. We have to be on top of that. And the only way we're going to be on top of that, you have to depend on yourself. You cannot depend on a European. Once you start depending on a European, all right, you know, for everything that you do, all right, you're moving yourself that closer and quicker, all right, to becoming an ancestor. All right. If you want to slow that process down, then depend on self. What do we need? We need you to become fully involved in what Ulu is doing. We got a lot of stuff on our website that tell you what we're doing. You got contacts that you can make. We got a new website. We got a number of initiatives that we're going to be exposing on the website for you to participate. But you can't look there on the fence. It ain't time to look there on the fence. I mean, these people got you locked down, you know, and they want you to wear a mask everywhere. All right, they want you to stand 6 feet, 6 feet apart. You know, you sneeze and it goes 12 feet, but they want you to stand 6 feet apart. They want a mask. You know, the pores of the mask, you know, you could probably put 1,000 viruses through it. All right, but they want you to put on a mask and prevent you. Now, there's something, it slows it down a little bit, but the mask is not a protection, you know. And I think there might be something else in the air that they're doing that they're not telling us about. Like I said, we don't sit there. So we can't depend on them. What we have to do is depend on ourselves. There's safe places we can go and plan, develop our economic strategy. We need to develop and gain land. All right, this is Shabaka. We haven't really talked about this entirely inside Ulu, but we like your voice, if you think. Because the way in which we can control the resources, we must be able to control the state apparatus of which the resources are governed. We have to do that. We have to think that, you know. Otherwise, you know, we're kidding ourselves. What happened in Tulsa? What happened in North Carolina? What happened in Florida? All right. Those things, you know, we got to think about what happened, how can we change the course. How we change the course is do an examination of what came before, what is happening now, and let's change. Brother, I didn't mean to burn your ear too much, and I know that you're running out of time, but I had to get that out. Maybe you can give some information if people want to get in contact with us by the website, where it is, and then the number.
Yes, yes, brother. Brother Shabaka, we thank you so much. And if we were about to nominate somebody, I would say let's nominate Brother Shabaka, you know, to be a researcher, you know, for African people, because you brought the information that's verifiable, not something you made up. You explained it so very, very well, and we certainly need you to continue. And I know that we could spend another hour or two that you've got more to bring. And it's very important, family, that you are taking notes, especially in your mind, and holding on to it and evaluating what he said and the things that he brought forward that you can look up. And he kept saying, type it in on your browser, look it up for yourself. And you just were so wonderful. And I know, like myself, why the people were quiet, because they were listening. It made sense, brother. And you pointed to where we can verify it. And family members, you can reach Us Lifting Us by several ways. And one is to go to our website, www.usliftingus.com. And you can go there and take a good look and go online presentation. But also you can actually go to the put your contact information in to get further information from Us Lifting Us. And if you need to, you can also email us at info@usliftingus.com. And our home office phone number is 404-592-2780. Family, we thank you so very, very much for being here, and this was a very extremely beneficial, informative conversation, and you should be able to make some decisions, some sensible decisions yourself about whether you would, or even if you should, or if you would dare to take the vaccine. And remember what was said about Neely Fuller, and you've got to make sure that you've got clarity and your senses fully functioning before you make the wrong decision. And take heed of what was said tonight, Brother Shabaka. Once again, we thank you so much. You did a wonderful presentation. And at this hour, family, thank you. And at this hour, family, it's important that you reflect on what was said tonight. Let that, as you drift off into your quiet moments, and we're going to end with Lonnie Liston Smith, Quiet Moments.